Sadriyag,
Vimreshu,
Vimrisheshu, Hetu, Shemasya Sadriyag, Vimreshu, Hetu. Semasya sadriya grimriyeshu hetu. Asanga atma vatirikta atmani. Asanga atma vatirikta atmani. Asanga atma vyatirikta atmani. Trida ratir brahmani nirgune cha ya. Trida ratir brahmani nirgune cha ya. Tritha ratir brahmani nirgune chaya. Shastre sviyan eva sunishtito nrinam. Semasya sadriyag vimrespiyu hitu. Asanga atma vyatitirikta atmani. Tridharatiya brahmani nirgune chaya. Shatre sviyan eva sunishtito nrinam. Semasya sadriyag vimreshishu hetu. Asanga atma vyatirikta atmani.
Asanga atma vyatirikta atmani.
Tridharati brahmani nirgune chaya.
Shastra Shriyaneva Sunishtito Nrinam.
Shastreshu.
Shastreshu.
In the scriptures.
In the scriptures.
Iyan eva.
Iyan eva.
This is only.
This is only.
Sunishchita.
Sunishchita.
Positively concluded.
Positively concluded.
Rinam.
Rinam.
Of human society.
Of human society.
Shemasya.
Shemasya.
Of the ultimate welfare. Sadriyak, perfectly. Vimreshesu,
by full consideration.
Hetu,
cause.
Asanga,
detachment.
Atmavyatirikte,
the bodily concept of life.
Atmani, under the Supreme Soul. Tridha,
strong.
Rati,
attachment.
Brahmani,
transcendence.
Nirgune,
in the Supreme,
who is beyond the material modes.
Cha,
and.
Ya,
which? Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. It has been conclusively decided in the scriptures, after due consideration, that the ultimate goal for the welfare of human society is detachment from the bodily concept of life, and increased and steadfast attachment for the Supreme Lord, who is transcendental beyond the modes of material nature. Responsibly, please. It has been conclusively decided in the scriptures, after due consideration, that the ultimate goal for the welfare of human society is detachment from the bodily concept of life and increased and steadfast attachment for the Supreme Lord, who is transcendental beyond the modes of material nature. Purport. Everyone in human society is engaged for the ultimate benefit of life. But persons who are in the bodily conception cannot achieve the ultimate goal, nor can they understand what it is. The ultimate goal of life is described in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2, text number 59. Param drishtva nivartate. When one finds out the supreme goal of life, he naturally becomes detached from the bodily concept. Here in this verse, the indication is that one has to steadfastly increase attachment for the transcendence, Brahmani, as confirmed in the Vedanta Sutra 111, Atato Brahma Jigyasa. Without inquiry about the Supreme or the transcendence, one cannot give up attachment for this material world. By the evolutionary process in 8,400,000 species of life, one cannot understand the ultimate goal of life, because in all those species of life, the bodily conception is very prominent. Atato Brahma Jigyasa means that in order to get out of the bodily conception, one has to increase attachment to or inquiry about Brahman. Then he can be situated in the transcendental devotional service, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu. To increase attachment for Brahman means to engage in devotional service. Those who are attached to the impersonal form of Brahman cannot remain attached for very long. Impersonalists, after rejecting this world as mithya or false, jigan mithya, come down again to this jigan mithya, although they take sannyas to increase their attachment for Brahman. Similarly, many yogis who are attached to the localized aspect of Brahman as Paramatma, great sages like Vishvamitra, also fall down as victims of women. Therefore, increased attachment for the Supreme Personality of Godhead is advised in all shastras. That is the only way of detachment from material existence and is explained in Bhagavad Gita 2.59 as Param Drisva Nivartate. One can cease material activities when he actually has the taste for devotional service. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also recommended love of Godhead as the ultimate goal of life. Prema Pum Arto Mahan. Without increasing love of Godhead, one cannot achieve the perfectional stage of the transcendental position. Om Ganatramandasya Ganandana Salakaya Chakshun Militanena Tasmasi Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Ripakadamayam Dadati Swapadandikam Vandeyam Sigaro Sita Padakamalam Sigurun Vaishtavamscha Sri Rupam Sagitatam Sagana Raghunatam Vitang Tang Jajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Padijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Vadan Sagana Lalita Shiva Sakan Vitangscha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasati Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Vantakalpatrubhyascha, Kripa Sindhubhyevacha, Patitanan Bhavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo, Namo Namaha, Mukham Kuroti Vachalam, Pangum Langayate Giram, Yatripatamaham Vande, Sigurum Dinataranam. So I thought I would start out going back to the basics, Bhagavad Gita. There's a sloka in the 15th chapter, it's text number 11. Yatanto yoginas chayanam pasyant yatman yavastitam yatanto pyakritatmano nainang pasyant yachetasa. The endeavoring transcendentalist who are situated in self-realization can see all this clearly. But those whose minds are not developed and who are not situated in self-realization cannot understand what is taking place, though they may try to. So here we have a very nice example of a personality, Sanat Kumar, who is speaking here, who has been situated in self-realization for a very, very, very long time. And he didn't take the elevator. He took the staircase. First, he came to the understanding of Brahman, and then the impersonal aspect, and came to the realization later of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his personal feature, Bhagavan. So he went the hard way. And the process of understanding the impersonal feature of the Absolute Truth, there's a lot of endeavor. Tesho tiktarastesham avyakta sakta tetasam. That's 12.5 in the Gita. And he did this. And so part of it is studying the Shastra. It's a major part of this endeavor. And so he's been through the Shastras, backwards and forwards, from inside and out. He has been through a serious endeavor to understand the absolute truth. But if one is under the conception that the absolute truth is impersonal, one is situated in that line, one has the guru, one has the sadhus giving one guidance, and then one can misunderstand the Shastras also. And one can come to this misunderstanding. So it's very, very, very important that one situates oneself in a proper, bona fide, authorized form of yoga to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His personal feature as Bhagavan. Then one can make some serious progress. And if one is not in that situation, oh, no matter how hard you try, you will not be able to get there. You will not be able to realize the absolute, supreme absolute truth if you are under the conception that Krishna is just an energy, and you are thinking that Krishna is an energy, I am an energy, and I just have to overcome the modes of material nature by my endeavors, by my study, by my analytical understanding of this material world, then I can also realize that I am God. So because you are being a competitor of God, God will not give you this realization. One has to become a humble servant of God, and that is by becoming a humble servant of His pure devotee. And then He will reveal Himself to you. But, so first of all, situate oneself in the association of those who are seeking the highest goal, Bhagavan realization. And then desire to achieve what they have. And then Krishna, within the heart, He will guide you and to a bona fide spiritual master. And by the mercy of the spiritual master, one will get the shelter of Krishna. And in this way, one, of course, you have to have the mercy of Krishna to get you a bona fide spiritual master. And then by the mercy of the bona fide spiritual master, you get Krishna. This is Krishna's formula. We do not ever approach God directly and get the ultimate success. Our first actual endeavor is to Krishna directly. But Krishna doesn't reveal Himself. He sends you the guru. So this is how Krishna works. For the benefit of the living entity, so that he can get some proper training and get some proper direction in life. And with the direction of the spiritual master, then one can read the Shastra and read it in a and get out of it the real essence of the Shastra. If one doesn't have a bona fide spiritual master, one can get so many different conclusions from the Shastra. And also there's, of course, the sadhus, guru, sadhu, and shastra. Sadhus are like shiksha gurus. They are also giving us direction, advice, and help along the way. So when we go back to the beginning of this chapter, if you really focus and read between the lines here in the Srimad Bhagavatam, you will notice quite a few things. Just like if one wants to really go through the Srimad Bhagavatam and get the ultimate benefit from it, one has to go through it very carefully, very deliberately, with a devotional mood. Just like one can go around Govardhan Hill in so many ways. One can go through Govardhan Hill in a rickshaw. You know, it takes about 20 minutes or something like that. And one may be doing that so that they can go back to their family in Punjab or wherever it may be that I went around Govardhan Hill. Or maybe because you don't have any time and you're sincerely praying when you're going around Govardhan Hill and you're very sincere. So you can't judge by the externals. Or someone may go around Govardhan Hill running and then swimming in the different ghats because I want to be physically fit. Or one may run around Govardhan Hill and go swimming thinking, I have so much to do today to serve Krishna and I have this material body and I need to maintain it. So I will go around Govardhan Hill in a very, you know, like a power walk with some swimming, but sincerely chanting. Or else one can go around Govardhan Hill walking, and that will take about 4 hours, 4 or 5 hours, like this, and chant japa very nicely. Or one can go around Govardhan Hill and bring someone with you, or follow someone who knows all the different pastimes and all the different places around Govardhan Hill, and then one can, you know, take their time and listen and hear. And that is another way of going around Govardhan Hill. And another way of going around Govardhan Hill is to not only go around with someone who knows all the different pastimes and all the different places, but to take notes. And you record the person that is telling you to the different pastimes and the different places with a view that I want to, in the future, take people around Govardhan Hill myself so that I can inspire them in Krishna consciousness. Also, one can go around Govardhan Hill paying dandavats. This is a very popular way of going around Govardhan Hill. You see many people from very many different walks of life doing this. And full of sincerity. It takes about, you know, you can do it about 4 hours a day. That's how much physically you can handle doing dandavats, you know, all around. You know, it's with one rock. You pay your full dandavats. You put the rock at the tips of your fingers. Then you stand up. Then you take another full dandavat. And another one, and another one, and another one. 4 hours a day doing that steadily, about a week to 10 days. And you can do this in different moods also. Maybe you want to go back and you know, advertise to the whole world what a great devotee you are. You did Dandavat Parikrama around Govardhan Hill. Or you may be very privately, sincerely worshiping Krishna in the form of Govardhan Hill, begging his mercy. You want to be empowered to preach Krishna consciousness to the fallen conditioned souls. So a lot is going on internally with the devotee. That's the most important part. Then there's another way of doing Govardhan Parikrama. You take 108 rocks and you stay in one place and you do dandavats 108 times in the same place and put the 108 rocks, you know, at your fingertips, one at a time. And if you do this about 4 hours a day, it will take you approximately 1 year to circumambulate Govardhan Hill like this. 5 years. Excuse me, I'm wrong. Okay. Now, one can also do this with different moods. There's actually professional Dandabad.
People.
They come and go through the seasons. They come when there's a lot of people. Because one who is, they grow their hair very long and maybe matted and they wear saffron. They're not all like this, but there's some like this. And they put a picture of Krishna where they're putting the rocks. And they have their little houses on wheels that they move with them as they go along. They're like tin. Some of them are not, they're not all like this that have these houses, but some of them are. And they're professional dandavats, acharyas. They are into making a living. But there's some of them, they are fully absorbed in paying dandavats to Govardhan Hill. It's their whole life. And they're just so full of devotion and so full of humility, and that is their sadhana. It's paying dandavats to Govardhan Hill every single day, rain or shine, big crowd or no crowd, donations or no donations. They are simply dependent on the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he came to Mayapur in the mood of this type of devotee who's doing dandavat parikrams with 108 rocks. He wanted to become empowered to spread Krishna consciousness. And he came to Mayapur and chanted how many names a day? Who knows? 1 lakh? 3 lakhs. Okay, like Haridas Thakur. Same. That is an incredible endeavor every single day. You have to be fixed on the holy name to even be able to get it done within 24 hours. This is, 3 times 64 rounds, 192 rounds. This isn't some small feat. And to do it every single day for how many years?
9 years.
So this is why we need the Association of Devotees, because we're imperfect and we don't remember some things. So, and then after this amount of time, he went out and felt himself ready to lead the charge against the illusory energy and to gather other people to help him in this endeavor to practice Krishna consciousness and spread Krishna consciousness to others. So, this takes the mercy of the Supreme Lord, in other words, to be able to give Krishna consciousness to others. And one who's advanced in spiritual life attracts the attention of others who are advanced in spiritual life. If you want advanced association, then you beg for the mercy that you become advanced yourself. And if you're not advanced in spiritual life, then don't barge in on those who are. First deserve, then desire. So we see here in the beginning of this chapter that Maharaj Prithu, he is such a personality. He's a very advanced personality. I mean, he's a Saktivesavatar. And he had just finished instructing the citizens about spiritual life in general. And then from the sky came the four Kumaras. And he immediately took the role of a subordinate. Here he is. He's the king of the whole planet. And he has unlimited power, practically speaking, from the material perspective. And he can have anything he wants, just at the like that. And he's such an advanced devotee that he's doing this as a service to Krishna, being the ruler. He's not being it as an imitation of God, but as a servant of God, servant of Krishna. And when some senior transcendentalists appear before him, he's immediately ready to take the subordinate position. So if you read between the lines in the Srimad Bhagavatam, you can pick this up. Because what does he do? First of all, he stands up. He sees them coming, recognizes them, stands up and folds his hands. So there's a shloka. I get this from the commentary by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, that Mahabharata. Okay. It's in the Mahabharata that if elders come in to one's association, the life heirs rise above the head. So then, if one is cultured, one will stand up when elders come into your association and respectfully fold your hands and welcome to them. And so then you'll catch up to your life heirs, so to speak. But if you neglect to do that, it decreases the duration of your life. If you're not respectable to elders and you neglect to give them proper respect, then it decreases the duration of your life. So then what does Maharaj Prithu do after he stands up? He's not some uncultured person. They're coming all of a sudden. There's no warning. He knows immediately what to do because he has been properly trained and has been practicing the culture of spiritual life from the very beginning of his life. Komaracharat pragyo dharman bhagavatani ha durlabham manasam janma tadapya dhruvamartadam. This isn't something new to him. He offered respect from the very beginning when he came out of the thighs of his father, who he didn't respect because he wasn't worthy. But he respected everybody else, all his seniors, so on and so forth. Here you can say Maharaj Prithu, you know, he's like he should have some kind of a conflict within his mind, you know, he didn't have a father or something like that. But he had absolutely no problem because he's had the association of devotees and cultivated spiritual life in a very cultural and respectful way. So he knows immediately what to do. Immediately there's foot bathing, and then he offers prayers of glorification to the four Kumaras, very nicely, you know, explaining to everybody, you know, why and how the four Kumaras are such exalted, spiritually elevated personalities, and how by their association you can attain the ultimate goal of life. And then asks some questions, and then further glorification. It's like a sandwich. You know, you first inquire, then ask a question, then some further glorification. Very cultural, very thoughtful, very respectful, very gentle. So this is what we're getting from the Srimad Bhagavatam. We're getting a culture of respect. We're getting a culture of honor and very, very sincere inquiry. And then from those that we inquire from, they are very humble also, because they are saying, as I have heard from the guru, the sadhu, the shastra. This is the answer to your question. It's not that I have figured it out on my own. I'm the supreme authority. I am so great. I'm so intelligent. I know your answer. But it's just they quote from authority. And they first of all, before Kumaras, they also did what Maharaj Prithu did before answering the questions. They glorified Maharaj Prithu. Someone may consider themselves a subordinate, but that person that those persons are considering less than them may consider himself less than them. There is this type of competition in spiritual circles. It's not like the competition in the material world where everyone is trying to convince each other that they are greater than everybody else. But in spiritual circles, there's always a competition of the opposite, that I am actually very fallen. The only reason I know this answer is because I've heard it from authorities. I'm taking no credit for myself. I'm simply a humble servant of my guru, and I have heard from him, or I just happened to read from the Shastra this answer to this question. Always a very gentle, very humble mood, never arrogance. Arrogance is, in 16th chapter, is a very base quality of those in the lower modes of nature. In spiritual circles, there is Sudha-Sattva, or at the least Sattva-Gun, those who have not quite progressed to a higher level. So here, with the four Kumaras and Prithu Maharaj, we are with Sudha-Sattva. And we look at their behavior and look at how they act with one another, and we can get immense benefit. So this is like taking a journey through the Srimad Bhagavatam with 108 rocks, doing Dandavat Parikram through the Srimad Bhagavatam and analyzing each sloka, each word in each sloka, between the words of each sloka. That's what coming to Srimad Bhagavatam class is Dandavat Parikram with 108 rocks. Now, you can come to Srimad Bhagavatam class doing Dandavat Parikram, and from, you know, it takes many, many, many years in different moods. So it's very important to take the proper mood in coming to Srimad Bhagavatam class. It's very important to take the proper mood in coming to your japa beads every day, your mala, approaching your mala, approaching the new day in a proper mood. And as long as we have not come to the ultimate stage of God realization, there will be a battle of Kurukshetra within the mind. The mind will be saying, okay, I'm chanting my japa, I'm studying the shastra, I'm going to Bhagavatam class, so because I want to impress everyone around me, I'm such a great devotee. I do it every day. I chant my japa every day. I worship the deity every day. I go to Srimad Bhagavatam class a day. Look at me. Look at what a great devotee I am. This is not Dandavat Parikram in proper mood. The Dandavat Parikram in proper mood is associating with the holy name in a very, very sincere, humble mood, prayerful mood, and also associating with the Bhagavatam in a very sincere, prayerful mood. And in this way, just like Maharaj Prithu attracted the association of the four Kumaras, and because he is such a humble devotee, although a big leader, He's still a humble. He knows this is just a role. I'm me being a king. This is, you know, I've been so many things in so many lifetimes. Okay, I will do this as service. Okay, so many people are honoring me, but I'm simply a servant of my guru. I'm a servant of the Supreme Lord, passing the honor up, never taking the honor and blocking it. Then you will attract the association of all the different personalities as you do your Dandavat Parakram through the Srimad Bhagavatam. And there are many, many, many illustrious personalities that we can get so much direction, so much help, and so much mercy from. But we have to be qualified with a proper mood in order to obtain that benefit. So this is what I was inspired to talk about today. Any questions or comments? Sadhu. Pass them.
Thank you for the inspiration. Sometimes in a very wrong perception, some people have defined, like Prabhupada had given the ABC in spiritual life. Mm-hmm. And by living in the society, an association of the devotees of Prabhupada society, we find formulas that he had given in such a nutshell, such a sutra, such a shortcut. In Kali Yuga we are short-minded and also short-lived. And you made this nice analysis and practical example of going around Govardhan and how people want to take the elevator. Actually, somehow, Prabhupada is kind of giving us an elevator too. Because in every of his temples there is a Govardhan Shila in the altar, and every day we can do Govardhan Parikrama. How we interpret this easiness or easy way to make advancement amongst so many other things that we don't see in other very learned Vaishnava circles outside of Prabhupada society, how he managed to give us introduction also to worship Srimati Radharani through even in the Bhakta stage. Anyhow, the point is how we appreciate that grace, because it's given so easily, and generally one may take by the practical experience in the world that something that is easily achieved may become cheap. So what is the state of consciousness that we have to appreciate all these gifts when we don't have the qualification to see?
We have to become qualified. And one becomes qualified with the association of devotees. When one is on the lower stages of spiritual life, a lot of correction is required. Because we have misconceptions. We're still very much, very strongly situated in the bodily concept of life. And we need help. Just like a child, he needs help to learn to walk. So devotees, they need help to learn to do Dandavat Parakram. It's training and proper training from the bona fide teachers. And by associating with a bona fide teacher, a real teacher, and the teacher comes through the purports of Srila Prabhupada's books, he comes himself through them, he comes through his disciples, he comes through his grand disciples, he comes through everyone in his line, we have to be ready to take help and guidance and seek help and seek guidance constantly throughout our journey through this material world. Titatmana prasantasya paramatma samahita sitosa sukadukesu tatamana pamanayo. For one who has conquered the mind, the super soul has already been reached. For he has attained tranquility. To such a man, happiness and stress, honor and dishonor, heat and cold, they are all the same. So until one comes to this platform of realizing Krishna and being fully cognizant of Krishna, one must be always in the mood of seeking guidance and help from others. And in this way, Krishna within the heart will see the sincerity of his aspiring devotee and help him. Because there's so many tests, so many obstacles that Krishna places in the way. And wherever there's an obstacle, sometimes we may not be capable of overcoming that obstacle ourselves. Sometimes, like, you require a ladder, or you need a helping hand, or an obstacle is placed before you and you need a bulldozer. So many, we always require help. If we ever think that we can do it on our own, you're in deep, dark illusion. Dabihesha gunamayi mamamaya dratya mameveye prapadyante mayamitam taradite. It's insurmountable, this material energy, because it is under the control of Krishna, and he is all-powerful, and we are not very powerful on our own. One more? You want something else? Okay. Anyone else? Yes, Prabhu.
Prabhuji, you mentioned that while doing activities in devotional service, we should have proper mood, like doing parikrama, coming to the Bhagavatam class, or before chanting on our beats. Mm. So, like, while doing parikrama, we should be in a prayerful mood. Mm. But what is the proper mood while coming to the Bhagavatam class and while chanting our beats? Can you please explain?
Same mood. That is the mood we should be in 24 hours a day. Absorbed in hearing the holy name, chanting the holy name, hearing the message of the holy name, serving the holy name, serving the devotees who are serving the holy name, always in a prayerful, humble, gentle mood, ready to nada pichini tena, torora pichisina, amanina manadina, kirtanyak sadahari, ready to tolerate all the obstacles that come in our way, and always be ready to ask for help and for guidance and to give help and give guidance from what you have heard and understood from the authorities also. It's all about giving shelter, taking shelter, and reaching out for shelter and reaching out to others to give shelter to them. So what's the difference between giving shelter and reaching out to give shelter? Is that one is like coming, someone may come to you for help, and of course you're going to give it to them. That's very merciful. But if you go out to someone who you see needs help, but they don't think they need help, but you give them help anyway, then that is the greatest mercy, and that is the greatest compassion. And this is compared to what Srila Prabhupada has done by coming to the Western countries. But in America, people are so arrogant. They think that they have got it together, that they know what life is about, and they're the best at it. They need the help the most. So Srila Prabhupada came to America first. And from America he made disciples, and then it spread all over the world, because everyone in the world is thinking America's the best too. And so then if these people from America are following this Swami, I will follow him also. And then he came to India, and they also are thinking America's the best. And so he came, and then Indians started following. But now we understand America's not the best. This was back then. Now America's in big trouble, and they deserve it. Any other questions or comments? Yes. Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Sometimes it is found that before coming to Krishna consciousness, we have certain old habits, and we start following Krishna consciousness, and we think that we have overcome those old habits. But sometimes those old habits start troubling you again. So what is the reason for that, and how to overcome that?
This has been a major, major, major problem, is that when devotees fall back to bad habits. Look at the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. How many are actively practicing Krishna consciousness today? They're still alive. It's very few, actually. It goes to show the powerful effect of habits. That is what Srila Prabhupada said. It won't be our children, but our children's children. Because our habits get taken up by our children. We influence our children, obviously. So Prabhupada's disciples' children, they didn't, a disciple of Prabhupada maybe came to Krishna consciousness at the average age of 22 or 23, something like that. So he has some samskaras there, and coming from a very difficult background, there's going to be a big battle of Kurukshetra in the mind to such a personality. And whenever there's a big battle, there is going to be casualties. Just like the Battle of Kurukshetra, how many million people and only a few survivors? So similarly, in this war against illusory energy, such a big, powerful enemy, and then with people that have such a difficult beginning, and so a very extreme struggle within the mind, there's going to be casualties. So it goes coming from India and having some training, some culture, some gentleness, some natural respect, it's not by accident that's in the Shastra that those born in India have some head start in life. They have that head start for a reason, because of previous activities in devotional service. That how to avoid these bad habits? Sincerity, tolerance, a good association, steady determination to follow the process of Krishna consciousness, which is many faceted. And one has to be very sincere, and in this way, one will be on constant guard, being diligent, because the enemy can attack from all different directions. He can attack from front, a beautiful woman. It can attack from behind. It can attack from either side. It can attack from above. It can attack from below. One has to be constantly on guard. It's considered like a razor's edge. It's very delicate and very serious business to approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna wants to see how sincere you are. And he will put so many tests in front of you to judge your sincerity. But he's very kind. Because even if you slip and fall, he always gives you another chance. and you take up where you left off before you slipped and fell. But if you slip and fall, you will have to overcome that hurdle you failed to overcome the previous time. And how do you overcome those hurdles? By asking for help. Any other questions or comments? Yes, Suresh Prabhu. Oh, hedonistic activities. Oh, I just came to another translation. And that's also very, very pertinent. You know, because especially people in America, you know, there's a word hedonistic activities is just ingrained in them. So are the greatest obstructions to the realization of religious principles. Samskaras, you know, people that have had done hedonistic activities. So now I will go to the other. Have you ever, like, played this game of you have a question and then you take the Bhagavad Gita and just open it up, you know, and you get the answer? Well, we got the answer because I thought I was on the sloka, but the book had turned. And, okay, and here, let's study. It's been conclusively decided in the scriptures after due consideration that the ultimate goal for the welfare of human society is detachment from the bodily conception of life and increased and steadfast attachment for the Supreme Lord who is transcendental beyond the modes of material nature. So how to get over bad habits? Detach yourself. Realize you're not the body. Whatever you did with this body in the past does not have anything to do with you. And increase your attachment for the Supreme Lord by taking shelter of the advanced devotees, by taking shelter of the holy name, by taking shelter of the message of the Bhagavatam, you know, by Dandavat Parakrama around Govardhan Hill in proper mood, so on and so forth. Any other questions or comments? Srila Prabhupada ki. Srimad Bhagavatam ki.